At a time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who used to dress in purple and fine linen and feast magnificently every day. And at his gate there lay a poor man called Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to fill himself with the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even came and licked his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In his torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus in his bosom. So he cried out, 'Father Abraham, pity me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' 'My son,' Abraham replied, 'remember that during your life good things came your way, just as bad things came the way of Lazarus. Now he is being comforted here while you are in agony. But that is not all. Between us and you, a great gulf has been fixed to stop anyone, if he wanted to, crossing from our side to yours, and to stop any crossing from your side to ours.' The rich man replied, 'Father, I beg you then to send Lazarus to my father's house, since I have five brothers, to give them warning so that they do not come to this place of torment too.' 'They have Moses and the prophets,' said Abraham. 'Let them listen to them.' 'Ah, no, Father Abraham,' said the rich man, 'but if someone comes to them from the dead, they will repent.' Then Abraham said to them, 'If they will not listen either to Moses or to the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone should rise from the dead.'" This is a parable, but at the same time it is a true story, a 21st century story, an everyday story. It is the story of two men living in two dramatically different situations. There are two different, although complementary, ways to preach this gospel. The first one emphasizes the first part of the story, when the two protagonists of the parable were still alive. The second one emphasizes the latter part, when both protagonists are seen after their death. In order to understand more fully the message of this parable, it would be advisable to read it against the background of the whole of chapter 16 of Luke's Gospel, the first part of which was read in last Sunday's Mass. We read last Sunday, in the last verse of the passage, Jesus affirms that no servant can be the slave of two masters. No one can serve God and money at the same time. In the following verse, we read that on hearing this, the Pharisees mocked him because they loved money. And so Jesus narrated this parable. This parable, therefore, is an answer and a warning to all those who love money. But who does not love money? When our Lord said, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," in no way was he condemning the rich. Still less was he justifying social poverty. Social poverty is always a social evil, which all of us are in duty bound to shun and to combat. Where there is social poverty, it is always a sign that the plan of God is not being effectively carried out. The phrase, "Blessed are the poor," means, first of all, that there can be a real joy for those who are in a dire state of poverty in this world. Once they discover the wealth which consists in living in the kingdom of heaven. Secondly, this phrase relates to evangelical poverty as this distinct from social poverty. And that is why Matthew's Gospel adds, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Social poverty is a symptom of a selfish, sinful society. Evangelical poverty is openness to God and to our neighbor. It is love in action. In other words, the beatitude of the poor is an eye-opener to all God's children. All must realize that true wealth is the hidden treasure for which one must be ready to sell everything. And the true wisdom consists in setting our hearts on this treasure, the kingdom of God. It is very easy for a rich man to make wealth his one and only aim and idol. How many people become workaholic at the risk of breaking down or of putting aside their other duties towards their families, simply because they want to get richer? And it is very difficult for many people to put their hand in their pocket in order to help a poor person. This parable describes such a situation in an extreme form. The rich man is utterly insensible to the dire destitution of the man who is so near to him at his gates. His word is a very small word. It includes only himself and his riches. But is this attitude such a rare occurrence? Isn't it true that in this globalized world, the gap between rich and poor countries is getting even wider? And isn't it true that in many societies, the rich are becoming richer, whereas the poor are getting poorer and poorer? Lazarus is still alive. Indeed, Jesus himself foretold, "You have the poor with you always." Yes, indeed, this is still true. But fortunately, it is never too late. We can always hear the Lord's words, "I was hungry, and you gave me food." Lazarus is among us, reminding us that we have no more right than he has for a decent human life. And fortunately, we can always look at him with a Christian smile, which enables us to see Christ's face in his suffering face.